Welcome back to Space Castle, everybody. It's your clubhouse and ours for all things nerdy. I'm Seth.
And I'm Alex, and I'm confused.
I'm DT, and I'm digging the energy, actually.
I'm bringing a weird energy, man. I'm just changing up the game. Feeling like I'm in Tron, man. Set the mood. Change the game.
Let's go.
Should we play some Daft Punk in the background while we do this podcast?
I mean, always. if we can afford it. If we could afford it, there's no fucking way we would ever not be playing Daft Punk. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. We've talked at length about how amazing the soundtrack is for Tron Legacy. Like, That's like my go-to album just for doing anything around the house or doing work at home. So, yeah.
It'll always be a classic for us because it was one of our first episodes.
This is also definitely not the Tron Legacy episode, okay? We've done a few of those. For sure not the Tron Legacy episodes. In this one, though, we are going to change up the game. We talk a lot about games we love and games that we can't like put down, games that we can't wait to get back to. I would like to talk about video games that we can't replay.
Okay.
Be that because they're terrible or they're scary or too emotionally draining that you just can't touch them anymore. Whatever it is, I want to hear about games that you just cannot play again.
This is a particularly difficult question for me to answer because I feel like a lot of the video games I've played growing up have been like skill-based games. Or the ones that I always revisit are just that. Like my favorite games that I look back on have all been like fighting games, FPS games in a multiplayer setting, or things like cabinet games like Galaga, which are like infinitely replayable on purpose.
Yeah.
So it's kind of difficult. Yeah. I think my like go-to answer right off the cuff is to say specifically historical war games. I can't replay like Call of Duty Modern Warfare for various reasons.
What?
You just have flashbacks about your time during the war?
Yeah, clearly. No. No.
I always knew you were a Captain America. I knew it this whole fucking time.
Well, originally I couldn't replay Modern Warfare even when I had a friend who wanted to play the campaign. My dad, I think, got the game after that friend and they both wanted to play it while I was there, walk through it with me. And there's a level that starts with a ship that's rocking.
Mm.
And I physically cannot replay it because I...
That's level one.
Yeah, exactly. And I cannot replay it because I get through it, I get sick, and then I can't play the game moving forward.
There's a few like motion sicky levels in that game. And that honestly, it's like Portal, dude. Those are proper shames because they're very good games. Mm-hmm. You can't play Portal. You can't play Modern Warfare. It's like, fuck, man. Can you play any games that I enjoy?
I played a ton of Modern Warfare, like multiplayer.
Yeah, that's fair.
So long as I can control the environment to some degree, I'm fine. That was more a surface level answer, but your question has more depth to that. DT, do you have anything you can't replay?
Yeah, totally. I personally don't experience any sort of motion sickness. Thank goodness, because it sounds like a real bummer. Sorry, man. However, I have experienced some emotional trauma while playing video games. And not like bad childhood memories or anything like that, but just really involved storylines, because I'm somebody who, very much the same way I watch movies, I really get into video games. I like to play them by myself with no noise, no distractions, and like fully immerse myself in them. So I get invested in characters and plot lines and stuff like that. And one of the first games that comes to mind for me in that sort of realm is, oddly enough, Gears of War, the series on Xbox.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Which is a really fucking good series. Yeah. If you haven't played it, first of all, you've been living under a rock for a number of years because it's quintessential, like, runner-gunner shooter, just action games. All three of them are fucking incredible. By the way, this episode is going to be filled with spoilers for the video games we played or haven't been able to finish or so forth, so be aware of that. But in the third Gears of War game, there is a culmination of the battle between the humans and the Locust Army, in which they're caught in a really bad position. Like, all of our main characters are stuck, and they're pretty much just boxed in by a massive army of locusts and lambits that are just going to eventually just swarm them and rip them to pieces. And one of the main characters, Dom Santiago, had just experienced massive emotional trauma in having discovered his wife was taken by the locusts and was basically turned into like a living husk, like just drained of any sort of like, you know, mental or emotional capacity.
Yeah, that was brutal.
And he ends up having to take her life to spare her from any more agony. So he's not in a good way. And further down the road, they get into the situation I just described where the entire team is in serious fucking danger. And Dom decides to jump off the platform they're holed up on, jump into a truck, drive a distance away, come back with the truck, and smash the truck into a bunch of explosive shit and essentially take his own life to save the rest of the team. And it sounds stupid and goofy, and it plays out very much like a Michael Bay movie where it's just explosions everywhere, and it's like that fucking Mad World song playing. But what gets me is John DiMaggio is such a goddamn fucking masterful voice actor.
It's true.
And the entire like cast of the game is just firing on all cylinders in all three games. And John DiMaggio's portrayal of Marcus Fenix realizing what his best friend's about to do and pleading with him over the radio comm not to do it, and then his just expression of grief when Dom does it and saves them all is just so fucking brutal and so well acted that I haven't been able to revisit that series since, because it's a series that has a lot of like personal meaning for me, because I played the entire series through with a bunch of really good friends. We've talked about Alex Dudley a few times in the podcast, and I played it with him and our good friend Jim, like the entire series all the way through over the course of like a long weekend. And we're just so fucking fully invested in it. It was like a bonding experience. And Dom going out that way was just a massive shock for all three of us playing. Mm-hmm. So it's just rough. Like it's like a good memory, but also like a sad memory because of how powerful and pivotal that scene was. So that's my first experience. That's my first one I haven't been able to go back and replay since.
Those games really suck you in and like hold on to you while you're playing them narratively, for sure. You're right about the voice acting. I remember that when I played through those games with a buddy in high school, when somebody would call us to try to hang out, and if we were too deep into the game into a few levels, we would tell them, sorry, no, I'm saving the world from the locust invasion.
Fuck yeah, man. Yeah.
What a series. See, I find it funny because there are like, five games going on, six games now. And you mentioned the first three, you don't want to go back to them after that.
It's like Halo. You have like a trilogy of story games. Like that's the thing. And then they added on after that.
And then your strategy game.
Yeah. They kind of built on after the trilogy. But like the trilogy is like, it's a trilogy of books.
Yeah. I'm the same way though. Like I haven't wanted to revisit them. It's just it's kind of crystallized.
Exactly.
I'll go back and play Horde though. Horde's a blast.
We should do that sometime. Dude, I'm going to give you my old Xbox next time I see you. We got to play fucking Horde again.
Do you not have an Xbox, Alex?
I have an Xbox.
Do you have a Xbox Series X?
I don't have the newest Xbox now.
No, the second to newest one, Xbox One.
They have Xbox One generation?
I have an
Xbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm going to fucking sell it then.
Do it.
Because I've got the Xbox Series X and I've got the PlayStation 5, but I still got the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One X. That are just collecting dust in my closet. I should just wipe them and sell them to GameStop or something.
Yo, speaking of which, just this very morning, as of recording, Sony announced that they're raising the price of the PlayStation 5, which is a buck wild thing to do two years into a generation.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
You can't buy them as it is right now. Are they trying to make it harder for scalpers or something? Or
since when does a console that's 2 years into its generation lifespan get more expensive?
The Oculus.
I know. I was like, I'm blaming Facebook for this.
Everybody's looking at Zuckerberg like, you can do that? What?
I'm wondering right now if Xbox is going to follow suit.
It seems like a Kickstarter thing. Like, oh, you got in on the ground level by buying it from a scalper for 150%. Now we're just going to raise the price. What? That makes no sense whatsoever. That's terrible.
That is absolute garbage.
Yeah. I didn't mean to derail with this news.
On top of their super bullshit fucking subscription tiers now too, just do one fucking tier with all the games and shit like Microsoft does. Like, give us the fucking proper like Game Pass for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Why do you have to nickel and dime us, Sony? Come the fuck on.
We've had this discussion before, but Xbox seems to be doing everything right. Microsoft, I guess, on that front.
It does kind of feel like they're making a lot of the right decisions these days.
Seth, what's a company that did something really right or really, really wrong and you can never revisit the game they made?
Fucking Activision Blizzard? EA? God. It's hard. Choosing a game company that fucked up is really easy.
Yeah, I'm going to think long and hard before picking up Diablo 4 for sure.
I'm definitely not going to, for a number of reasons. One, I'm a StarCraft player. And I don't really give a shit about anything else that they've made. So there's that. But also, like, I'm over it, dude. Maybe if the Microsoft acquisition comes through, then, like, they can, you know, clean up some shit. But otherwise, like, I probably will never play another Activision Blizzard game ever.
Fair.
We'll see how it plays out.
Does that count as your emotional scarring, too? Or are you getting to one of those?
No, I have a bunch of games that I can't replay for a large number of reasons that kind of span the breadth here. First up, Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, fuck. I know exactly why you can't replay that.
Yep. I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to leave it basically at that. Because if you haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, you need to. It is like top 10 all-timer. Like, it is a truly wonderful game. But I cannot play it again. And if you have played it, you will know why.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. My poor heart.
Yeah, it's emotionally draining.
I've never played it, but I've heard the tales of the woes of this game.
Yeah, you should play it. It is a spectacular video game.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear really good things, but it's like weighty, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's a weight to it.
It is heavy.
Which is amazing, too, because it's such minimalist storytelling at the same time. It's masterfully done. It's fucking crazy.
It truly is. It feels like Back to the Future. There's no chaff. There's no fat. It is exactly everything that needs to be there to elicit this feeling in you is there and nothing else.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a heavy, like, philosophical feeling. So, like, there's a lot to it. But, man, yeah, I remember I played that game. God, I must have been, like, 14 or 15. And it, like, I've yet to go back. Like, it still sticks with me vividly. I still think about it. What a fucking game.
It's incredible. It's an all-timer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, share with us more of your emotional trauma and damage.
I don't know if I have an emotional or physical trauma. The other one that jumped to my head, oddly enough, was World of Warcraft. And the reason that I don't ever really want to revisit it is because of the community, which is the bonkers part of it.
I definitely have a few like that, man.
I had such a tremendously good experience with Nexus Kingdom of the Winds, not just because of my family, but it was just an awesome, fun game that was so based in the community. And you could play just for that rather than, you know, going through the motions of kind of leveling up your character. Like, many people got to the point where they just got so high up there and then ended up just role-playing and playing their character in various different factions, guilds, and what have you, which is, as I understand it, pretty common within World of Warcraft too. But I spent a lot of time hyping myself up for that game and having friends and family hyping those games up. When I finally stepped in and played World of Warcraft for the first time, I played for probably like 4 hours, got a little bit of movement going on, and then immediately got dunked on by like three separate individuals in different corners of that game for being a noob, for being a scrub, for asking questions. I was like, this is the antithesis of a welcoming community.
Yeah.
And I know that obviously that's not always going to be the case, but I like think of World of Warcraft now and I just think the stigma is so much more potent for me. It's more poignant and it has more weight when I hear people like shit on World of Warcraft, because I'm like, I had a pretty terrible experience and it wasn't the game. It was the community of the game.
Kind of how I feel about Rick and Morty, actually. Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, there's a stigma to that too, and it sucks because I find it enjoyable. It's an enjoyable show.
Yeah, I like the show. Hate the fans.
Our cousin Brendan's a big fan of the show. I get it. I understand. I'm kidding. He's a sweetheart. He's a great kid.
I'm sure.
But no, I know exactly what you guys mean. I'm up next.
Yeah, dude. Round robin, baby. Let's do it.
Do you guys want a more emotional trauma, or do you want just general fuck this game forever?
Ooh, give me the second. That one. Yeah.
Fuck this game forever. Okay. Final Fantasy VIII. I've talked about this briefly on the podcast before. This is a game that I was so goddamn fucking excited for that I watched that they released the opening cinematic,
yeah,
as a trailer, and I watched that thing like 4 million goddamn fucking times before it came out that September. And like the first disc of the game is good. It's got a good storyline. It's interesting. The characters are all kind of blah and bland and everybody's like in high school and shit. And it's kind of weird. But the first disc has a pretty good story that culminates in an assassination mission. And I was on board. This is pretty dope. I'm fucking enjoying this. The cinematics are gorgeous for the time. The music was pretty good. It was Final Fantasy. It already didn't feel quite as good as 6 or 7, but it was still pretty good. But as you keep going and progressing through the game, the story gets more and more dumb and weird and oddly convenient and silly and outlandish. And it was more and more prevalent that they rushed this game out based on the success of Final Fantasy VII that came before it. And the production was super, super crazy rushed. The story is not fully fleshed out. And it gets really, really fucking stupid at one essential point where, again, spoilers, you learn that all the characters who came together and joined together to go on this mission to save the world actually all have amnesia and were all raised together in the same daycare, basically. Stupid. It's so fucking dumb. That's not even the worst of it. So what caused me to quit playing this game and swear off it forever is the fact that I played through the game. I got all the way to like the final boss and I leveled up all my fucking characters, like level 99, got all their best weapons and limit breaks and shit. Collected all the fucking items, did all the things I had to do, all the side quests and shit. And I get to Ultimisia, who has absolutely zero fucking motivation because they just forgot to write her in as a character. You have no idea why you're actually fucking fighting her, and you have to scan her with one of your magical abilities in order to actually read her motivation during the battle. But here's the thing. It was unbeknownst to me when I played through this game for the very first time as a young man that, for whatever reason, Square decided they were going to go against type and they were going to make the game mechanics so that all the enemies in the game level up as you level up too. So I am up there with level 99 characters with all the best weapons and loaded up with all the best magic and shit. And I'm up against the hardest quintessential boss in the game and I cannot fucking beat it. I'm reading game guides. I'm pausing the game and taking breaks and I'm coming back to it. I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I'm doing wrong because I'm doing everything right. I leveled up so much and I played the game so much that I made the game absolutely fucking unbeatable for myself because it was so goddamn fucking broken. And now to this day, the idea when playing Final Fantasy VIII is that you do not do battles at all. You don't level up. You keep your characters as low level as absolutely possible. And what you do is you power them up by using the junction system where you draw magic and magic kind of pumps up your character stats and whatnot, depending on the spells you draw and store. So here's the thing. I fucking love JRPGs. And one of the things I love about them is actually grinding, like killing a bunch of enemies and getting the weapons and leveling up and getting all the new abilities and all that cool shit. And this game actively and brutally punishes you for doing that. So everything I love about Final Fantasy games is essentially just stricken from this entire fucking game. And having gotten all the way to the last boss and just crawled through that slog of a fucking story, just to learn that I'd broken the game for myself by playing it too well, pissed me off to no fucking end.
Yeah.
And I have not touched it since high school.
Yeah, that's going to be a big nope. That's a break the CD.
I just don't understand why.
Yeah. Seth, what you got?
Yeah. So I've got a bunch more emotional problems in the tank here. But I want to talk about one that I can't go back to because it fucking sucked. And that was Sonic Unleashed.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
Why did you even attempt it?
Yeah. So this was at a time I had not played a Sonic video game since, like, Genesis.
Sonic and Knuckles, probably.
Yeah, I don't remember. It had been a very long time. And I got, like, a bunch of used games, and among them was Sonic Unleashed. And I was like, oh, shit. They made another Sonic video game for, like, an updated thing. Let's check this shit out. And I put probably 20 full hours into that thing.
God damn, you are a glutton for punishment, sir.
I am. It's a fact. I was a professional Call of Duty player and a raid sherpa in Destiny. I am, you know what? I am a glutton for punishment. That kind of is.
Yeah, ask for it. Yeah, jeez.
Sonic Unleashed, man. The thing is, I wanted it to be good because it was my first, like, 3D Sonic experience. Like, I wanted it to be good is what it really turns out to be, and it just wasn't. It just was no good.
I hate to tell you this, but there has not been a good 3D Sonic game at all. I got a Dreamcast for Christmas one year. We got Sonic Adventure, and that was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. I just don't think that Sonic can play in 3D. I just don't.
No, I am super anxious about Sonic Frontiers. I'm looking at it, everybody's hyped up, and I'm like, you guys, you have short fucking memories, guys. This shit's gonna sting.
I'll tell you one thing, I'll probably not play that.
I'm not gonna, no.
The only time I've enjoyed Sonic was on the Genesis, OG, or in Super Smash. That's right. And Sonic was broken in Brawl.
Yeah, he was.
He got banned in tournaments and nerfed hard.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Also, honorable mention is Zelda 2. It's fuck that game. Oh. No. Fuck that game. Game sucks.
I don't get to defend it at all? Okay. All right.
You can if you really want to. You've defended shit before.
No, it's all right. I'll give you guys my last pick for this topic instead. How about that?
Yeah.
So if you are a Patreon, and you should be at patreon.com/spacecastlepod, you know that I was going to reveal a game that I'm actually currently playing that I think might be one I won't ever revisit again, or maybe not revisit for quite some time. And it's Ghost of Tsushima for PlayStation 5.
Oh.
Let me preface this by saying it took me a while to get into it. I bought it initially, and the controls and whatnot just didn't click for me. So I set it aside, played a bunch of other games. And I recently, just this month, revisited it, and I've absolutely fallen in love with it. And it might be one of my favorite games of all time. The controls are tight. The story is incredible and emotional and in-depth. And there's a bunch of multiple storylines going on all at the same time. But the pacing is just so fucking incredible. But there's two issues here, and they're not really issues. The first of which is the fact that it's very much an open world game. So it's a lot of collections, a lot of side quests, a lot of stuff like that. And once I finish an open world game, unless it's like Breath of the Wild or Skyrim, I'm pretty much done after I've done everything. Like, there's nothing left for me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to platinum this game for sure. And experiencing a story for the first time while doing all that stuff is one thing. But going back and replaying it for the story and feeling obligated to go through all those side quests and collections and stuff a second time, it's just not something I'm about. So that's one strike against it, I guess.
That's the same reason I won't go back to Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that game. And I'll pop in just to see the visual sometimes, but I can't play through it again. Like, it's not a replayable type of story.
The second of which is the fact that the story is so fucking profound and so well written and so well produced that it is like watching a very emotional movie or reading a very emotional book. There's a lot of deaths, a lot of repercussions or actions, a lot of things that happen in the course of this game. And it's emotionally draining. Like, no fucking joke. Like, I just finished the second act earlier this week and I cried.
Wow.
Like, no fucking joke. Like, I was fucking tearing up, had to get up and like grab a glass of water and kind of chill for a second because some emotional shit goes down at the end of the second act, and it was a lot. And to replay a 60 plus hour game with that many really powerful and really well executed emotional beats would be a huge investment for me. So I'm thinking this might be one of my favorite games of all time, but I think it might also be a one and done for me because going back and replaying through it again would be such an undertaking. But god damn, this game is fucking magnificent. If you haven't played it, please do so because it's just incredible.
Yeah, I can't wait to play
it's
it.
It's really fucking good. It's kind of like we talked about Everything Everywhere All at Once and how you're experiencing something you know will be one of your favorites of all time for the first time and having that knowledge and that feeling as you're going through it.
Ooh.
That's what Ghost of Tsushima feels like for me. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, dude. Drag that shit out.
Yeah. But yeah, that's in a good way, in an absolute best possible way. That's one game that I don't think I'll ever revisit, if not for a very long time.
This kind of brings up another topic I want to chalk up for a later episode, and that is games that you cried playing. I'd like to talk about, like, maybe we can do another round robin list like we did this episode of games that you've cried during play, because there's a surprising handful in my list that I can think of right now that I've cried. And man, yeah, I want to talk about it. So
yeah,
I'm going to add that to our little spreadsheet here.
Do it. Make note.
I'm going to have to dig deep in the memory vault for that one.
Yeah. Alex, have you ever cried during a video game?
Have I? Because of that community within Nexus, when my grandma passed, we did a funeral in game for her. And I definitely cried during that.
Yeah. Can't imagine you not.
That's rough.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was honestly very moving because the whole community, I mean, she was the leader of this clan called Sun Moon Clan, is still going today. It's been going for like 30 some odd years almost.
It's awesome.
Well, more like 2022 or something, but still, like, it's been going for forever. Her successor sort of led this essentially in-game funeral, and my character gave like a little out of character eulogy.
That sounds actually quite nice. I mean, sad, but like nice.
Yeah. I was like 15, 16 when she passed. And no, I was 16. And it was like, it was definitely helped with closure, you know, to kind of have that. Which is why I think I bounced so hard off of WoW. Because I had such a welcoming and lovely community in Kingdom of the Winds. And then, yeah, it was the complete opposite. It's like, just, yeah, miserable. It's like where the bad name comes from sometimes.
Life's too short.
Do you have another game that you can't replay, Alex?
I don't think so. I probably have some that I just naturally gravitate away from that have, ironically, some of the sort of things that I really love about classic games. It's like Galaga I can play all day, every day. like DT and I played the OG Gauntlet at the bar, and I had a blast playing that, even though it's wildly repetitive. But there are games like even Diablo 3 for me, like a lot of the mechanics become repetitive over time. And it's kind of like, okay, I know what I'm getting here. If I switch characters, I'm not getting a wildly different game. I don't think I can kind of like jump in to a new, I don't know, a new character and experience something wildly different. So I think that's kind of what it is. I don't have anything that's like traumatizing for me, I don't think. I got real scared when I played Doom for the first time, but everybody does.
I got real scared when I played Sonic Adventure for the first time.
Speaking of traumatizing, there's a game that I will almost certainly play again that is getting ready to talk about it right now is giving me anxiety. It is the Dead Space trilogy. And specifically, the traumatic event that I'm anxious about is in Dead Space 2, where, spoilers ahead, there's a scene where you have to basically prevent an injection in your eyeball. And it's a QTE, it's a quick time event. And if you fail that quick time event, guess what you get to witness in your entire glory detail?
Recreation of the movie Fire in the Sky.
Except it's like, it's you. Like, there's a visceral nature to it. It's brutal, dude. And I am still like a bit traumatized from that one single event that I'm very much and also not very much looking forward to the Dead Space remake that's coming out.
Yeah.
Body horror stuff, can't do it. Because there's a niche, and some people are really into it, which is why you get that in some gory horror movies, or the people who really enjoyed like Scarred on, what was it, MTV, just showing all these like terrible, oh, I just snapped my leg in half, let's watch it on television, let's play those games where I'm repeatedly like falling off of this cliff. There's a way to handle it well. I'm looking at you, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, good job. But there's a way to not handle it well.
Body horror is not good. And this is definitely played for that. It is brutal. And that's like the point, is like you're meant to be like repulsed by this event. But that's a runner up, because I am going to replay it because the Dead Space games are so fucking good. I can't avoid them, even though I'm not necessarily looking forward to it. A game that I will almost certainly never replay because it was traumatic, and it is one that literally I just went through. It is the VR version of Green Hell. Have either of you ever heard of this game?
Nope.
I don't think so.
This is a fairly hardcore survival game where you play as a person who's lost in the Amazon jungle. It is brutal for that aspect, and it's brutal to like be in VR and look down and see like parasites on your legs. That's deeply traumatic.
Ooh.
But the story is also very traumatic, and it's a little bit of spoilers here. It's kind of about the psychosis and loss of sanity of you, the main character. So like you're playing through these events with a walkie-talkie to your wife. I'm cutting a bunch out, but there's lots of scenes of you like pleading with her not to go with this native tribe or not. And that's
whoa,
brutal.
Too much. Nope.
But also... Yeah. As it turns out, this is all past tense because you've been reliving this series of days over and over and over again because of a thing you did to society. You basically, as a protagonist, unleash like a society devastating disease. And as a coping mechanism, you go insane and hike it into the jungle.
Oh, man.
And that's like you're playing like the insane you reliving these days in the jungle trying to find your wife who's long gone. Trying to like cope with this potential disease you may have discovered, and like all of these tents and camps that you apparently were partaking of, but you have no memory. It's a deeply like traumatic game.
Fuck, man.
It's very, very good. Because it's so good and it takes place in VR, like it is internalized as my memories really, really easily. Granted, like it's fairly easy to still separate them in my brain, but like that border is way blurrier because of VR. That is a brutal game to play.
Should we tell Seth that he went space crazy a long time ago and we've locked him in a secret room for weeks now and he's actually not part of this podcast. He's just been yelling at the top of his lungs this entire time.
It does feel a little bit like I'm yelling into the ether sometimes.
Isn't that what we're doing with a podcast?
Yeah, basically.
Especially the three of us out here in deep space. There's no one else around, you know? aside from Goldblum. But we know how things go with Goldblum.
Well, he was programmed to scream into the ether.
Spending all this time up here in space with Goldblum is also one of the reasons why I can't replay the Dead Space series.
Dude, it's for real.
Gentlemen, should we move on to some messages from Earth and come back with a deep space recon from Seth? And we have a very interesting listener question from a good friend of the podcast.
I'm Edward October, and I'm here at the October Pod Ranch in the Great Smoky Mountains. Almost every night here, there's a ghost story party around the campfire. In my family, we believe that scary stories are best told around a roaring fire with a bottle of wine. That's why bold individualists everywhere choose Oktoberpod for their retro horror thrills. Our stories are so good because they're told with such care. Understated, moody, and above all, chilling. Why don't you join us for retro horror of impeccable taste? Choose Oktoberpod. Find us on YouTube or at oktoberpodvhs.com. Oktoberpod, retro horror for bold individualists.
Seth, you're doing it again. Quit screaming into the ether and just tell us about your deep space. We know you've been staring at it for long enough.
I don't wanna. All right, fine. All right. Fine. You've convinced me.
I really wish we had gone through all the tranquilizers in that first week.
I didn't go through them. What did you do? Is that what that secret room is all about?
That's the only way I could sleep while you were screaming.
That's the secret. This whole time in DT's secret room is just trank darts and Jolt Cola. That's like all you see.
They just balance each other out and I'm feeling good.
That's a little life pro tip I learned from hackers.
Rollerblades.
Jesus Christ, dude. That's a traumatic event right there. Fucking rollerblades, dude.
I'll tell you, I'll never watch Hackers the same way again. That's for sure.
I'm not sure I'll ever watch Hackers again now.
It was all my inappropriate jokes about Dade and his mom.
I don't know if that was your fault. That was kind of handed to you by the film. The film was true. Weird, dude.
It is on a platter.
Anyway. Yeah. If you haven't already, go look us up on YouTube. We have a series called Real Drunk, where we create drinking games for classic movies. Then we play the drinking game, we get hammered, and we try and review the movie while making jokes along the way. Definitely go check it out. We have a blast doing it.
It is an absolute blasty blast. That's for sure. And some of the movies are legitimately good.
Like Tammy and the T-Rex, shockingly fucking
which
enough.
Which is a shock. That is an utter shock. How much I enjoyed that stupid ass dumb fucking movie. Okay. I've got a thing I found in deep space. Now look, this is not an unpopular thing. This is something many of you have heard of, but if you haven't, you need to check it out. It's a YouTube channel. And this channel is by an OG YouTuber. He's been around forever. He's got a big channel recently, somewhat crossed 1 million subscriber mark. Great fucking dude. Great fucking videos.
Is it Video Game Donkey?
Nope. Video Game Donkey crossed 1 million like a decade ago. This is Wheezy Waiter, the one and only Beardo.
Wheezy.
Wheezy is an OG YouTuber. He's been around for 1 billion years and makes legitimately great content and has like such a good like voice where his references to his bits will show up in other YouTube videos that are instantly recognizable. Like, he's got such a style, and he's had a style for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Great fucking videos. But over the last, I don't know, handful of years now, he like revamped his channel in like, I don't know, 2017 or something like that, like a little while ago. Changed up the whole point and started doing a lot of like 30-day challenges. He basically decided like, hey, I want to like make my life better. So like, I'm just going to fucking try a bunch of shit and see what makes it better. So he does things like giving up sugar for 1 month or giving up alcohol or going to sleep at 10 PM or trying biphasic sleep and getting up at 2 and working for 3 hours and going back to bed, like all kinds of stuff. He just tries a bunch of shit, getting 10,000 steps every day for 1 month or whatever. Does a bunch of stuff now. Over the years, he's got quite a lot. And some of them are really esoteric, like trying to have small talk with his wife every day for 1 month. Really, really interesting stuff. And it's a lot of stuff that's like, oh, I've always wondered what it would be like to really actually try giving up my smartphone for 1 month. just to see what it's like again. And he does it, and he talks about the experience, but talks about it through the whole time. He does kind of like progress logs in the video of like the entire experience that he films over the month or however long he's doing it. And they're incredibly fascinating. Not only are they interesting and fun topics, but Wheezy, Craig, I guess I should call him because usernames are not a name. It's fine.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you're in the Matrix.
If you're on YouTube, it can be.
It's a debate I've been having for a long time, but Craig is a truly phenomenal writer. He's been working on documentaries and he wants to make a feature film, all kinds of stuff, right? His writing style is really excellent and it's full of really good jokes. And you can tell that like he spends a lot of time thinking about how to properly convey the things that he's learning. And it's great. I literally cannot recommend his channel enough. It's the kind of thing where like, if you've been around, like, you know, Wheezy Waiter, he's been everywhere. He's been a nerd fighter forever. He's been on all kinds of different shows. Like, he's been around. But if you haven't watched his channel much, or you just, this is the first time you're hearing about him, because it is a somewhat specific corner of the internet, check out his channels, dude. Like, he does really excellent stuff. He's got podcasts. He does like Wheezy news videos every handful of days, like every other day or something. It's great. He does a lot of really, really cool shit, and it's really eloquent and really thoughtful. It really feeds the introspective part of my brain where I like to think about my life. And his videos are like, yeah, I also like to think about my life. Let's do that together. And it's great. Like, he's a big deal. Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely like a soul food type channel. Like, it makes me feel good to watch his videos.
Dope, dude. Thanks for sharing. That's awesome.
If you need a break, go take a break with Wheezy Raider.
Speaking of breaks, I think this listener question from a good friend, Billy, at We Watch the Thing, is probably going to break all three of us.
Yeah, I've never heard it before, so I don't know. Every time I try to talk about it, you other two bumblefucks are like, this is going to be wild.
That's not DT, that's me.
I mean, for me, this is just normal daily shit, but for Alex, being a married man, this is some buck wild speculation.
Uh-oh.
So, like I said, our good friend Billy from We Watch the Thing, he sent in a question via our hotline, and let's all listen to the question right now from our good friend, the sweetheart Billy.
Space Castle, you bloody legends. It's been Ezra from We Watch the Thing here, and I had a question for you guys. I want to know, would you rather make love to a reverse mermaid or a reverse centaur? It's a really important question, so if you could answer that ASAP, I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.
Billy, are you okay?
He's hey, not, buddy. And it's wonderful. So, if you had to make love to a reverse mermaid or a reverse centaur, we're talking animal from the waist up, human from the waist down. Alex, you go first.
I knew you were going to do this. I don't have an answer, Billy. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't. Oh man. The only thing that I can think of really right off the top of my head is right. Like that mermaids are meant to be attractive. Like they're in
that's
literature.
That's regular mermaids.
No. Well, some, but like they've been co-opted by most people to, they've been sort of merged with sirens. So you get a lot of like attractive mermaids. You don't get that with centaurs. We don't even know that they're, we had this discussion like, wait, there are female centaurs. Yeah, I don't know. I can't give it. I can't.
Yes, you can. Yes, you
Isn't
can.
Isn't that my answer then? I suppose I have to go vote on the mermaid side. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Now explain why.
No, I don't have a why.
That is the most buck wild answer. To me, the answer is obvious, and it's centaur, because horse better than fish. I don't want to be like staring at a fish.
I like, don't want to be anyway.
I don't know, Alex. We don't want to do any of this. But I would rather here's the thing, look, because I feel like it's gonna be from behind, right? It's got to be. There's no face-to-face action.
No, we're not
here.
Getting into the details.
Oh, yeah, we are. We're doing this.
Here's the
we're
thing. It's got to be from behind.
Fucking absolutely. Of course it does. Of course it does. Horses bite. There's no fucking way. No, it has to be from behind.
It would be way easier for me to deal with mane and hair on the back of a horse than it would be for like fins and scales. Like a dorsal fin, dude, like up on my chest? No. No, it has to be centaur.
What?
It has to be, dude.
You have a very specific vision for the mermaid version of this.
It's a reverse mermaid. It's a fish on top.
Okay. So your reasoning is if you squint really, really hard, the fact that the horse has the mane means you can kind of pretend?
No. You said that. I didn't say that.
Now, we'll have to be in the water and just drown me afterwards, mermaid it is.
Just... fulfill your mermaid destiny and just take me down.
You've successfully done it. One more claimed for the mighty sea.
It has to be reverse centaur because reverse mermaid is just worse. That's it.
All right, DT, you can't just put this on us and not contribute.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a legs and ass man, so this is probably easier for
me. Oh, so just put
general.
A big bag over it. It's fine.
Sure. Like burlap sack or something.
Good Lord.
I'm leaning towards the reverse mermaid just because horses bite. They're dickheads. They're fucking wild and unpredictable. And plus, I'm assuming the horse has got the front horse legs and two back human. Is it talking to me?
I don't like that at all.
Because I mean,
what does a reverse centaur even look like?
So I'm imagining like a horse. You know how like if two people wear like a horse costume for Halloween, and the person in the back end just forgot to wear their costume. That's what I'm imagining. Like two front horse legs, horse torso, and head and neck, and then from like the midpoint on, it's like a bent over human being without the tail.
I'm imagining BoJack Horseman.
No, that's too anthropomorphized. I think that's.
Reverse centaur, which means horse waist up, which is like chest and neck, and human waist down, which is like waist and legs.
All respect to Billy, we've spent too much time on this question already.
Is it speaking to... Okay, so here's the other thing. Is it speaking to you, or is it just making noises? Because a fish isn't going to be making wild horse noises and shit, which would just make the whole thing that much more weird.
Alex... And DT, your decisions are incorrect now. I am deciding that a reverse centaur is BoJack Horseman. And I would much rather have sex with BoJack Horseman than a fish. So, game over. Billy, thank you for your question. I've decided. I'm going to go back to screaming into the ether. Bye.
Does the reverse mermaid have arms or just like fins?
Fins, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then that would just be a human with a fish face.
That would be super awkward to have sex with a reverse mermaid, though. Because, I mean, it would essentially just be laying there, right? Like,
I mean, okay.
Because it would just be legs and like a fish body. Like,
I kind of am on board a little bit with Alex's answer. Because his answer requires him being immediately drowned to death. Which I get. Like, this is not... a thing I want to live with for the rest of my life. I get that.
What kind of fish? Do you think it's like a like a clownfish?
Yo, okay. Like is a, this this might just be me? But do
like
you guys
a giant
remember
fucking trout or something?
Do you guys remember that children's book with like the rainbow fish scale book, whatever it's called, Alex? What is it called?
Yeah, rainbow fish.
Is it rainbow fish?
Yeah, rainbow fish. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
That's the fish type I've been envisioning. Is that weird?
Yeah, it is.
I've been envisioning like kind of rainbowy scales and like...
See, now you're making it romantic. You're like, well, hold on. Is it translucent? Is it like the body of like a big fucking like Popeye goldfish? Or is it an attractive fish?
Hey, DT, what does an attractive fish look like?
You know...
Some people are into the bottom half of a mermaid.
Hey, I've seen The Incredible Mr. Limpet. I get it. That man left his wife.
Or like Cleo from Pinocchio, Geppetto's fish.
Hmm.
I think the correct answer is mermaid, but
I actually kind of want to change my answer now. Now that I'm thinking about it, fish kind of freak me out. And I don't love horses either, but given a choice between like just a big fucking dead eye staring at you while you're doing your thing.
And think of the like.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to find a swimming pool somewhere, right? And like you'd be standing in the shallow end and the fish body would be comfortable underneath the water.
I do not need the logistics. No. Do not.
You wouldn't be able to do it otherwise because you wouldn't be able to have the leverage. You can't do it floating in water. That's just
you totally can. You can absolutely have sex in free water.
And this is when our podcast jumped the mermaid.
Garrett fucking Teed.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Do you have
either.
To cuddle and talk afterwards? Seth, this is by far your weirdest fucking space sickness fever dream.
It frankly feels like a fever dream at this point. Really not sure what's going on. Billy, why? You scream into the void at a hotline and I'll scream back.
I'm fully convinced that Billy's got a more wild question and this is just a precursor just to see if we'll go for it.
I'll ask the easy one first.
So you got to be a gentleman. You got to take the reverse centaur or the reverse mermaid out for like a nice date first, right? Obviously, that's not really so much in the cards with the reverse mermaid because of the whole, you know, no water thing. But the horse, like, how do you decide if you go back to your place or theirs? Like, I live on the third floor. It's going to be really fucking hard to get somebody who's got human legs and two front cloven hoofs up three flights of stairs.
Is it? I've seen horses climb stairs before. I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem.
Horses can't climb downstairs, so that's pretty rough, too.
Well, that's what the human legs are for.
And what do you do? Do you, like, you go out for, like, donuts and bring them back? Or you go out for, like, a barrel of hay or something and bring it back? Like, because I'm a gentleman. I'm not...
Now, that is a good question. Does a reverse centaur have the same... Does a reverse centaur have a human digestive system?
Oh, that's a fucking... Oh, damn. I do not ever want to be a reverse centaur and have a steady diet of hay and grass and then have a human digestive tract. Fuck.
Okay, on my desk right now, you guys can't see because my camera's fixed. On my desk right now,
are you drawing diagrams?
Shut up and listen. I have the question, when does food stop being food and start being me? And this is an interesting question for this scenario, because does a reverse centaur have a horse stomach and a human intestine? Where's the cutoff here? Oh, where does it go from horse to human inside?
If you got the reverse centaur pregnant.
Oh, no.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Hey, that's going to do it for this episode of Spacecast, Literature Clubhouse Nerds for all things nerdy. If you've somehow made it to the end of this episode, first of all, you're a true goddamn champion.
You're like me and a glutton for punishment.
You want to be an even greater champion, then please share this episode with a friend. My name's DT, and, reverse centaur.
I'm staying.
I'm staying.
I've been Red Wine and Snatch, Alex, part-time librarian, Winnebago thief, inverse Batman, King Killer Dude, Centaur biologist, Bison Basher, Master and Space Commander, Molotov, Donhammer.
We can't tag Craig in this episode.
Maybe he's got an answer for it.
I don't want this to be my introduction to Craig. I want to be friends with him. Bye, I love you.